Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
Hey, Mel, Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey, if you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm gonna get to that budget just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
Alrighty, rocking and rolling on this Wednesday. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We all remember Creighton's run to the Elite Eight a year ago. The Blue Jays had an enormous victory last night for the first time ever in their program's history. They have taken down a number one team in the country, defeating the number one UConn Huskies, who are the defending national champs, by a final score of 85-66. Now joining us is the head coach of the Creighton men's basketball team. He's been the HC since 2010, and that, of course, is Greg McDermott. Coach, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for making a few minutes, and congratulations after a big win for your program last night.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great night for our program and our community. The arena was absolutely hopping last night. It was a lot of fun for everybody involved, and you know, a great win for our program, especially this time of year as you move closer to the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament.
We know this group is experienced. I'm not saying they needed more confidence, but when you get an enormous victory like that, does it just provide naturally some more confidence to your group?
I don't think there's any question, Zach. And, you know, we've won some road games this season against some good teams. And I think that in itself probably gives you more confidence than anything when you could go into a very difficult place at Nebraska, who hasn't lost a home game this year except to us, going to Butler, going to Seton Hall, and find ways to win. I think that validates a lot of things that you're doing on a daily basis on the practice floor. And, our home court's a great home court, and, you know, we've been fortunate, to have a lot of success there. And last night certainly fell in line with that.
Like you said, your program has had a lot of success. People have a lot of respect for you and what you've done at Creighton, but you've been there now for at least over a decade, since 2010. To get that program's first win ever against a number one team in the nation, just how do you kind of put that moment, especially being at home, into perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's historic. Anytime you're able to do something that's never been done, it's a really cool experience. I think for the guys on the team, they're never going to forget it. I think our fans that were at that game last night are certainly going to remember the experience last night. But it was a game between two really good basketball teams. And obviously UConn has certainly earned all the attention they've gotten this year in the number one ranking because of how well they've played. You know, Danny's done an unbelievable job, retooling part of that lineup to get to the point where he's got a team capable of winning a national championship again. So, you know, we're really, really happy for our program, really happy for our guys and for our fans. Not surprised that we won. You know, we felt like we had a good enough team to win that game.
Oh, were you surprised that you blew them out? That was a surprising part, right?
You know, we shot it extremely well. And, you know, we knew we were going to have to. If you're going to make a living of challenging Donovan Klingon at the rim, it's going to be a long night. We played more outside in than inside out. Than what, you know, and usually Kalkbrenner is someone we try to establish. We try to establish the rim a little bit more. And we just stayed away from that last night and, you know, tried to make him chase us around the perimeter. And then defensively, you know, UConn's only scored under 70 points four or five times all season. Twice it's been against us. So we've had two defensive plans that have been executed by our guys that, you know, at least are going to give yourself a chance against an elite offensive team.
Talking to Greg McDermott right now, you look at your three leading scorers from a year ago, all back, Shireman, Kalkbrenner, like you mentioned, and Alexander. They've all gotten better this season, and you see it from a statistical standpoint as well. What did you kind of challenge those three coming off the Elite Eight run a year ago to kind of do this offseason to get those results that we're seeing now?
You know, Baylor went through the draft process 2 years ago before he transferred here when he left South Dakota State. So he had been through that process. And when he made the decision last year to come back for one more year, it actually was a surprise to me because when we recruited him, the plan was 1 year and he's going to go back to the draft. But Baylor really thought he could get better. He thought he could grow. He thought he could be more impactful if he added some strength to his body and really transformed his body, worked to get his shot off a little bit quicker, and then try to get a little bit more agile on the defensive end. And he's done that. And our conversations with Trey and Ryan throughout the draft process, as they were, trying to figure out what was going to be best for them and their career at that stage of that, at that point in time, if you're going to come back, you know, let's make sure we take advantage of it. Let's really work. Let's get better. Let's make sure that when we go on the floor in November, that everybody's seeing a better version of Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner because of the work that you put in the offseason. And to their credit, they've both done it. And, you know, those three have been terrific examples and mentors and leaders for this team. And then you add in Stephen Ashworth, who's a natural leader in his own right. And, you know, we've been able to kind of grow as the season's gone forward.
Talking to Greg McDermott right now, his program got a victory last night up against number one UConn. So when you get all these guys back, it's awesome, but then it's a new year. And I think that's always tough when you have so much success, which you want, because everyone feels like not only do you have to replicate it, but you have to take it even a step further. How did you guys, once everyone came back, started to put what happened last year in the rearview mirror and not get people caught up too much in last year to make this year a little bit different?
You know, we lost some pieces with Nembhard and Kaluma deciding to transfer. So, you know, we had to replace them, with the portal and Stephen Ashworth. And then within our program at that power forward spot with Mason Miller, Isaac Trout transferred in from Virginia. And now Jason Green is playing really well. So I think our fans understood that it's probably going to take a little bit of time. But we were also, I believe, preseason top 10-ish a year ago. So, you know, Trey Alexander, Baylor Shireman, Ryan Kalkbrenner, they'd already been through that and understood that while it's nice to get the attention in the preseason and when you're playing bye games in November, December, it really doesn't mean anything. Like you have to hook it up. You have to really be married to daily improvement and daily growth if you want to be playing your best basketball in March. And I don't think the expectations were a negative to this group at all. And, you know, we played in a game last year against San Diego State where we're one possession away from the Final Four. And you know, their focus has really been understanding and making sure the rest of the team understands the importance of one possession, because we were one possession away from the Final Four. And if we get back in that spot, we want to try to kick that door down.
The transfer portal in NIL has changed the way of college basketball, college football, of college athletics. You mentioned Stephen Ashworth and some other transfers as well. It's kind of like speed dating to try to find the right fit for your program. You don't know if it's going to work. You hope it's going to work. When you guys are looking to bring in people via the transfer portal, how do you know if someone has a chance of being a right fit for your squad?
Yeah, I mean, for us, Isaac Trout, we recruited out of high school. And, you know, I'd recruited him for a few years. So we were very familiar with his skill set and, you know, what we think he's going to be able to bring to our program long term, which we're very excited about. When Nembhard decided to leave, it was a surprise. So when you try to fill in a spot like that, you know, there's a lot of things at play. Certainly you need someone that's talented enough. But with us, because we play a very unselfish brand of basketball, the culture fit is really important as well. And finding someone that would complement Trey Alexander, not take away from Trey Alexander. So a ball dominant point guard was not someone that we were in the market for, because part of what we talked to Trey about when he went through the draft process is putting the ball in your hands more, showing people what a great decision maker you are. That was a little more difficult to do when he was on the floor with Ryan Nembhard, but it's really happened seamlessly with Stephen Ashworth. So there's a lot of things that go into play. And, you know, with us, it was finding the right person for that point guard position as much as the right player. And, Stephen Ashworth has been absolutely terrific.
You've adapted. I know there's been some legendary coaches in football and basketball to walk away recently. And a lot of people feel like that's because of the changes in the sport. At the age of 59, do you still love this sport? Do you still see yourself coaching like for maybe another 5-10 years or more than that?
Yeah, you know, I love practice. You know, I love teaching, and that's why I got into it. I love the relationship piece of my job. And if we ever get to the point that it becomes all transactional, that's probably the point that, you know, I really think about walking away if relationships don't matter anymore. But in our program, they do. And not just coaches' relationships with players, but it's our staff relationships, it's players' relationships with one another, and being able to put together a group of guys that truly likes to celebrate each other's success. And to me, that warms my heart in coaching when I see that, that, you know, teammates are really, really happy when something good happens to one of their buddies. So as long as we can keep accomplishing that and bringing in the right people, you know, this has never really seemed like a job for me, in the 35 years that I've done it. So I don't really want to start working now.
Do you feel like this is your last stop? Because I know the history with Ohio State, naturally your name gets thrown right at the top of their list with their vacancy. Do you think Creighton is your last stop as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, you never say never. You know, obviously I met with them the last time and had a tough decision to make at that time. But I've always said that, you know, if I had my choice, it would be to end my career at Creighton.
And the last thing I'll ask you, Coach Greg McDermott here with us after his team's sensational victory over UConn. When you were going through all that madness when the game was ending, trying to get back to your locker room, and all that euphoria is unfolding, just what was going through your mind in the moment, fresh right off that blowout victory?
Well, as you said, I'm 59 years old. I was trying to get the hell out of the way so I didn't get ran over. I'm not quite agile enough to dodge those bullets when those students come flying on the court. But, you know, we haven't had many court storms during my time here. You know, we've had a pretty good basketball team. So they're, you know, the Seton Hall game in 2020 when we got a share of the Big East title was the last time we've had a court storm in our building. So it doesn't happen very often. And to see the joy on those students' faces, and there was a few adults out there jumping around as well, was pretty cool. But, you know, the scene in the locker room to celebrate with a group of guys that has really given you everything that they have was really special and certainly a night I'll never forget.
Coach, your team's fun to watch. Excellent victory last night. Congratulations and appreciate you. I know it's a busy day making a few minutes for us.
Thanks, Zach. Anytime.
You got it. There he is, Greg McDermott, the head coach of the Creighton Blue Jays, off a very impressive victory last night up against Danny Hurley's squad, the defending national champions in UConn. And I can't wait for the Big East tournament, and I can't wait for March Madness as well. But that was a fun moment that kind of serves as an appetizer for all the mayhem that's going to go down in a few weeks. Okay, we'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. We got a few would you rather questions when it pertains to some NFL quarterbacks moving forward for the next 5 to 10 years. But let's get the latest CBS Sports Radio update in first with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.